This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
I almost brought this up yesterday, but it was just so harsh. It's so, so sad. It's so ridiculous and angering that I decided not to put it in. But today I thought, you know what? I've got this other story about California. That one is so ridiculously stupid and frivolous that this one, we can put this in. It gives us an unbelievable message, and it just makes you think, you know, what can you do to help someone? All I'm going to say here is you'll see the headline, so let me bring it up a little bit larger on the screen here so you can see this. Teenage female hockey player, that's, you know, field hockey, loses teeth after being hit by shot from male opponent. It was field hockey. It was a trans so-called gender guy playing in a Massachusetts, I think it was the Swampscott team, against Dayton Rehoboth. You can see down there on the screen. This one actually got coverage in the Telegraph all the way over in the UK. Of course, with the internet, it could have been next door. But the guy, you're not supposed to hit the field hockey ball like up in the air. You're supposed to try to keep it on the ground. The guy smashed that field hockey ball so hard that even with their mouth protection, this, all I'm going to say is there's video of this. It blew out all of her teeth, smashed her, basically destroyed the entire front area of her face. Explosion of blood. I don't know what is going to happen for this girl. I mean, just unbelievable. Unbelievable. So now they're reconsidering. The head of the athletics department is saying, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to reconsider now. Maybe that deserves a second look. And it's just unbelievable. You know, how many times does dumb stuff like this have to happen? Now, was it accidental? Of course it was accidental, right? Did you hear the story about that pro skater? I think it's a European skater who has been prone to doing this trick where he raises his skates and gets people, he cuts them or gets them in just below the neck around their collarbone. But this time he went too high, sliced the dude's throat. The guy bled to death just a couple weeks ago. It's unbelievable. And part of the problem here, of course, is that this is done through the government school systems. So they're always super touchy-feely. Nobody can have exactly what they want because it's the tax system. And that doesn't mean that they should be forced to accept something that they don't want, right? And you get this. I mean, just really, really sad. But it gets even crazier when we go to California. I don't know what's going to happen with this young man pretending to be a woman slamming that thing so hard and hitting the girl in the face. Now, it's possible if a girl had hit it, it would have been the same thing. I don't know. But it does bring light to the absurdity of having men who are typically physically stronger, they're faster, their reflexes are faster, They're just dominant. They're athletically dominant. There's nothing you can do about that. That's just the way it is. And this mixing of the guys and the girls, it's so crazy. It's so stupid. I guess it would be one thing if you had a pickup game, but when you have official policy and it's done through taxes, that mixes everybody's decision-making process into it. You know, maybe the best thing, it's a eureka moment. It's very unique, and I've never thought of anything like this before. Maybe the best idea would be to stop charging all sorts of people for this and get the government out of education, in addition to getting government out of sports that are tied to education. Now, here's something that for a long time was seen as a government role. education wasn't for about half of the country's history in the United States, and people were very well educated and very literate, as Alexis de Tocqueville showed, as the Sales of Common Sense by Thomas Paine showed. All sorts of people were absolutely devastatingly impressed by the fact that public education didn't exist in the United States, virtually speaking, except for some small enclaves in Massachusetts. And they kept pushing and pushing, and people just wouldn't do it. And you can just look at the Bulfinch study. Charles Bulfinch in Boston in the early 1800s was promoting the idea of having government-run schools. He had a survey, found out that 96% of the children up to sixth grade were educated privately. And people just didn't want government-run schools. They wanted their own church-run or home-based schooling. Wouldn't it be nice to get back to that, huh? And stop all this arguing and stop craziness like this. But something that is seen as a typical government function is to supposedly catch the bad guys, right? We know about catching the bad guys. That's why the police are the good guys when they point the guns at you and say, pay for us, we're protecting you. Wait, maybe I should start the show again. And go backwards. Hey, how's it going, everybody? This is the Pro Status Show. As you all know, government is definitely a valid thing. It's there to protect you. All right, thanks for watching. Enjoy. You chose it. Sure you did. Absolutely. It's a contract. You remember signing that contract, don't you? Yeah, I don't know. I think I smell my brains burning. All right, now, one thing that they often say is a government function is to catch the bad guys and put them in prison. Well, California's having a weird time with its prisoners. California spent $4 million on gender-affirming enhancements for prisoners. Let me enlarge this for you, no pun intended. Yeah, here it is. Tyler Durden, the team, and they go by that moniker. California is helping prison inmates cope with their stints, having forked over. Yet you got, if you're reading the front, all you really need to do is read that front line there, the front three lines, I should say, the front paragraph, because the key thing is the last bit of it. Okay, having forked over more than $4 million. Of taxpayer funds on surgical sex changes and cosmetic gender-affirming enhancements for 157 inmates. Get this, including four who are on death row. Now, I suppose I should have gone to the Washington Free Beacon for the original report and given them the publicity. But, yeah, there you go. That's great stuff. Dallas Rachel Goosen, Michaela Fennel, Super Tasty Fennel, and Jazzy Paradise Scott ride bikes in the prison gym. Yeah. So, as they say, breaking it down, the state has coughed up over $4 million for certain kinds of plasties between the legs, $180,000 for breast implants. Eat your heart out, Dolly Parton. $184,000 on facial feminization surgeries. $224,000 on laser hair removal. And the state spent over $1 million removing the breasts of former prisoners. But remember, just please don't forget that this is helping the people on death row. Because there's nothing better than to know that people's tax money is first, possibly going to kill an innocent person, and second, putting people in prison who now, on death row, if they are guilty of the crimes, can now demand these surgeries, even though sometime down the line, they're going to be killed by the state. You get to pay for all of it. All this moral ambiguity is just awesome, isn't it? Now, for those people who want to discuss the so-called death penalty, I often tell people, I say, look, okay, I'll talk to people who are, say, opposed to the death penalty. And I, too, am opposed to the death penalty because I'm opposed to the state. But I'll talk to non-anarchists, especially left-wing big government anarchist people. I mean, big government left-wing people. As an anarchist, I'll speak to them. Just to make sure I frame that correctly for you as we light the campfire and settle in for a little story time here. But I will, and I have done this in the past, I'll speak to big government left-wingers, and I'll say, now, you're opposed to the death penalty, right? And they'll say, absolutely, 100%. Good, good. Okay, now, can you offer me your reasons? Typically, the reasons will be that they don't want the state to kill an innocent person. I'm with you, 100%. Okay, cool. They don't want to be implicated in putting to death someone who should not be put to death. Okay, I got it. So then I say, okay, so that also means that you are opposed to taxpayer-funded police, right? And they look at me funny. And this has happened many times. And they say, what are you talking about? I was like, well, police can and will and have killed many, many times more innocent people than the death penalty ends up putting to death. And they say, well, that's comparing apples and oranges. And I was like, really? And they'll say, yeah, because, you know, the death penalty is after a deliberative process when you don't have to put those people to death. You could just put them in jail. You know? And I was like, okay, well, we'll take away the wrongful imprisonment part of it because you could also have an opposition to that. You're, you know, putting your money into that. And we'll also take away the idea that you're forcing someone else to pay for something that they might not prefer for that prison system and the way you want it to operate. Okay. Life in prison, you think that's cool, you know? Okay. Now, some conservatives are like, they should cut down the number of appeals for death row, that, you know. And then they'll say, well, it acts as a prophylactic. It acts as a threat to those people who might think about engaging in these types of crimes. If it enters their mind that they could be put to death, maybe they won't engage in these types of crimes. Maybe not. But we're not talking about the effect for so-called safety for the populace here. We're talking about the opposition, the protest that the left-winger gives, which is, I don't want the state to take an innocent life. And the answer is, well, if you oppose the death penalty and you also do not oppose armed police that can and will kill people, regardless of whether they're defending themselves on the spot or not, the end is the same. You are sanctioning people to go out with weapons, supposedly to protect you, when in fact armed civilians do much more protection than police, because police aren't on the scene when those conflicts occur, when the crimes happen. You typically arrive afterwards. When seconds count, police are just minutes away, or hours away in the case of Israel. In many other cases. So clearly, if they want to be consistent, if they don't want the state to take an innocent life on their dime, then they should also consistently oppose armed police and say, I want out of it. I don't want the police state. And that's what all states are. All states are police states, right? So I think that's worthwhile to mention. And I'd love to hear your thoughts about that. Anything you want to comment, if you think, oh, guards off base, anything like that, feel free to let me know what you think. Frederick Brossier's words ring true from the 19th century onwards. So let's head on into our next flash story, everybody. After we hit that California story, we brought up the long-term lesson, I hope, out of that about not just the prison system, paying for all those different things that are in there, stuff that you might think is good and other people don't, stuff that you don't think is good that other people do, whatever it might be, whether it's the food or the books that they allow people to use, whether it's getting extra weights into the gym. All those things are arguments, just like the school paradigms are arguments when things are collectivized. How many kids are going to be in each classroom? What time will they start? How many people will be in the cafeteria or the workout area for the prisoners? How many prisoners will they have? When will they be able to visit? No one gets to really express what he prefers. So That's the way that it goes underneath the state, unfortunately, and I'd love to get your thoughts, Rockman Chatters. So let's get on into our next flash story. Wait a minute. Yeah. We got some breaking information about your automobile freedom. Yeah, there we go. There we go. I did it again. I know. I'm so good at it. Let's head on over straight over to Thomas Massey and Daniel McAdams, everybody. Daniel McAdams tweeted out, "This is exactly the high-tech equivalent of the Soviet internal passport. Your freedom of mobility, folks. We talked about what they've done with the truckers. They're trying to do this sort of thing with American drivers of cars. They want to control how long you can be on the roads, where you can be on the roads. They want to know where you're going on the roads. They want to be able to charge you by the mile and give you the carbon tax that they want to suck up from your lifeblood." And Daniel McAdams retweeted Thomas Massey here. Thomas writes, "The right to travel is fundamental, but the government has mandated a kill switch in new vehicles sold after 2026. The kill switch, again, just that. That's all you need to know. It shouldn't matter what it is, whether it's a kill switch or it's an airbag or it's a seatbelt or it's a CAFE standard or it's anything. The kill switch will monitor driver performance and disable cars based on the information gathered. We will vote on my amendment to defund this mandate tonight." And there you go. So here's a little bit of what Thomas Massey had to say.
"Pursuant to House Resolution 838, the gentleman from Kentucky, Mr. Massey, and a member opposed each will control 5 minutes. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Kentucky.
Mr. Chair, I rise in support of my amendment, which states none of the funds made available by this act may be used to implement Section 24220 of the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. My amendment is simple. It will defund the federal mandate that requires all new vehicles after 2026 be equipped with a kill switch that can disable a vehicle if the vehicle has monitored the driver's performance and that the vehicle determines that the driver is not performing well. It's so incredible that I have to offer this amendment. It almost sounds like the domain of science fiction, dystopian science fiction, that the federal government would put a kill switch in vehicles that would be the judge, the jury, and the executioner on such a fundamental right as the right to travel freely. But here we are. It is federal law that this is mandated, and so I am offering this amendment to defund this mandate. And with that, I reserve the balance of my time."
Gentleman reserves. For what purpose does the gentleman from Illinois seek recognition?
Mr. Chairman, I claim time in opposition.
The gentleman is recognized.
Mr. Chairman, I yield 1 minute to the gentleman from Florida, the ranking member of the Military Construction and Veterans Affairs Subcommittee, Ms. Wasserman Schultz.
The gentlewoman is recognized.
I thank the gentleman for yielding. I actually need 2 minutes, if that's possible, Mr. Chairman.
We'll do 2 minutes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
The gentlewoman is recognized.
Thank you very much. Lobbying in mid-sentence. I rise in opposition to this amendment. Let me be clear. The act that the gentleman is trying to defund does not require auto manufacturers to install kill switches. It does not do that. Passive drunk driving technology is a vital tool in safeguarding our loved ones and other innocent people on our roads. This new technology offers a lifeline of hope to not only save lives, but to prevent the lifelong emotional toll and gargantuan costs these accidents inflict on families. Deadly drunk driving accidents can echo across generations.
You know it.
But we can seize this opportunity to stop such tragedies. Between 2019...
There we go. She is playing with words. She's using different terminology. It is a kill switch. And she's claiming, oh, it's just about drunk driving. No, it is for performance. Thomas Massie has it right. He's an engineer. He describes it properly. But even if it were about just monitoring for drunk driving, if they put something, if they mandate that a breathalyzer has to be put into a car, which some people actually have proposed, if they mandate that, that is immoral, unconstitutional, and fascistic. So what Debbie Wasserman Schultz is saying there is lying by another means. And Thomas Massie was correct. Unfortunately, Thomas Massie's amendment did not pass. So those drunk driving measuring things for your driving standards will be put into your cars. And regardless of whether you've been drinking or not, if the government mandated system says you're not driving the way they want you to drive, your car will shut down. Also, it will monitor and collect data and send it back to the government such that, of course, as we know, it will be incorporated into how much energy you're using down the line. We know that they were going to collect this data because, well, I think it's a good inference, because they want to collect it from truck drivers. They're already doing, essentially, as I mentioned last night, something similar to this to try to figure out how quickly truck drivers might be going between point A and point B, and mandating that they can only be on the roads for a certain period of time before they have to take breaks. So, because they're mandating that the truck drivers can only be on the road for a certain amount of time before they take breaks, what does that incentivize the truck drivers to do to cover more ground? Go faster, right? Which makes it riskier in some cases, beyond a certain level of speed, right? Absolutely. It depends what you're hauling and so on and so forth. And so the government impediments in all these areas, because they claim they run the roads, because they claim they can regulate the energy system that we all use, that they regulate the automobile industry, play favors with some, and punish others. Because they claim all these things, completely contrary to their Constitution, but the Constitution itself is an impediment imposed on us. So even if it were in the Constitution, it would not be moral. But it's not in the Constitution. They use an open-ended interpretation of the Interstate Commerce Clause to get away with this. They say, well, cars go over state borders so we can regulate them. As I've mentioned, James Madison said that the Interstate Commerce Clause was supposed to be state-on-state predation and frustration when states imposed essentially trade barriers against other states as capital S states, entities, corporate entities. It wasn't supposed to pertain to individuals or private market transactions. That wasn't it. If there was a problem that popped up between states and states are imposing tariffs on each other, as Madison said, as a remedial, not a preemptive measure, they could go to the Congress for some sort of remedy. There's plenty more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live coming up.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA News Update. Israeli forces advancing further into Gaza amid the ongoing conflict with Hamas. Local health authorities in Gaza report intense bombing and the presence of military vehicles. Former President George W. Bush expressing confidence that the Israel-Hamas conflict will ultimately end.
Yeah, the images are grim. And yes, there's violence. But ultimately, love overcomes hate.
Bush made the remarks during his annual bike ride in Texas, organized to support injured veterans. Sacramento is taking a stand against misinformation with a new California law set to go into effect next year. The Democrat-backed legislation requires all K-12 students to receive education in media literacy skills. The curriculum will focus on developing critical thinking when assessing online stories and recognizing potential falsehoods. Instead of a standalone program, the lessons will be seamlessly incorporated into existing classes. John Schaefer, USA News.
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Using a paid tax preparer this year? Before paying someone to do your taxes, make sure they're qualified. Ask about their fees, experience, and training. Check with a Better Business Bureau. Avoid anyone who promises a higher refund. And review your tax return before you sign it. And make sure your preparer signs it too. For more tips, visit IRS.gov and search Choosing a Preparer.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Chahibo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction. And its features ensure Dash is undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible, and its network is protected from 51% of attacks by their Chainlock technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Thanks to the Dash DAO. Big thanks to them for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org. So if you express different views, you'll get silenced. If you want to try to create software and they find out about it and they want to investigate what you're making, they'll come after you. It's amazing. I mean, just whether or not they do it is really, that's just the practical outcome. It's the audacity of these people to do this, you know? It's their amazing hypocrisy that, as David Knight says, you know, they want to know everything about you, but they won't tell you anything about them. They keep everything secret, to paraphrase David. And, of course, hey, it pertains even to the hypocrisy of them on the battlefield, on the war, so-called, right? Let's go to a little theme about that right now, everybody. Let's hear from our friends, Time Zone.
Think about this, son.
Thank you, Time Zone. Let's get right into it, everybody. We've got a lot to discuss on this. And for the first part, you're not going to like the image of this, but let's look at it. It comes to us via Twitter in context. Despite Israeli officials telling Gazans to evacuate to the south of Gaza, we played that video. We talked about how fatuous it was. We talked about how they were bombing that area. And yet they were telling people, you've got to go to the south. Go to the south. Well, guess what? Here's some footage from the area where they're telling Gazans, the Palestinian civilians, to go as they carpet bomb more of that 5 mile by 25 mile area. Despite Israeli officials telling Gazans to evacuate to the south of Gaza, Israeli forces launched deadly air raids in the southern city of Khan Yunis. The air raids destroyed several homes and two mosques. The number of deaths is still unclear, but there is an estimate now, and you wouldn't believe this stuff that I'm hearing from conservative talk radio, where they're claiming, oh, this is the same sort of thing. We see this all the time. Our enemies, these Islamic crazies out there, they claim war crimes and they try to stop us from defending ourselves. How is Israel carpet bombing thousands of civilians anything close to American defense? How is that at all moral? Let's go to antiwar.com. The White House actually acknowledged it, even as, yep, we've noted it. They continue, as Max Blumenthal noted, they're going to continue to do this. We saw the footage of Max at the White House yesterday as he said, rather than political rhetoric, why don't you, you know, is there, we've heard political rhetoric about this, and the guy just offers political rhetoric as an answer. What are you doing to try to, you know, tell the Israelis to lay off? Well, you know, we have a system in place. Just more political rhetoric. And here it is. Now the White House acknowledged yesterday that the U.S. backed, on Monday actually, that the U.S. backed Israeli onslaught on Gaza has killed many, many thousands of innocent people as the Biden administration continues unconditional support for Israel's war. Yep, John Kirby acknowledged it. The Gaza's health ministry said on Tuesday that at least 10,328 Palestinians, and you hear in talk radio, they're saying, oh yeah, well, they're inflating it. It's thousands, but it's not that many thousands. Do you hear what you're saying? I literally was listening to Howie Carr's show, and they had a guy call in, and Howie's like, oh, yeah, it's inflated. I'm like, Howie, come on. Seriously? We're talking 10,328 Palestinians, according to the Gazan Health Ministry. Even if that's inflated, how about no, zero, that connect us to anything? How about that? They've been killed, including 4,237 children. And by the way, this estimate, I think this is reliable. Thousands more are missing and presumed to be under the rubble. The Biden administration has cast doubt on the numbers coming from Gaza's health ministry. And you're hearing conservatives believe the Biden administration. I mean, talk about being picking and choosing your reality. Just absolutely crazy, crazy stuff. In the meantime, they have a vote to censure Rashida Tlaib. As you see right here, from Vaccine Impact, First Amendment rights survive Republican Zionists' effort to censor free speech in Congress as rhetoric of hate and murder among the right intensifies. Yes, they tried to vote to censure Rashida Tlaib, and conservatives are like, oh, did you hear the people defending her? They were so shrill. They're talking about how there needs to be a ceasefire. The Palestinians need to be saved. They need to have their own home. It's like, how is that bad? Like, I don't understand. How is that bad? How is that going to stop the existence of Israel? I just don't understand where that calculus comes in. I'm using abductive reasoning, and it's not getting me anywhere here, right? Now, I want to play for you some great coverage of this and some of the votes and the support of people like Thomas Massie and so on who spoke up about this, contrary to what the rhinos, and yes, they use the term Zionist here in Vaccine Impact. Many of them are Zionists. They are very much Zionists. That doesn't mean that by criticizing them, I'm anti-Semitic. And as I've noted, as you know, the Semitic peoples include the Jews, include the Palestinians. And as I said, the Canaanites would have been considered Semites as well, right? So let's turn to Ron Paul and Daniel McAdams to hear their excellent coverage of this. Of course, they have that inner workings knowledge of the way things happen on the floor. And they were just, they were disgusted by what was done to Rashida Tlaib. And they mentioned, we probably don't agree with her on 99.99% of things. But look at what they are doing here. And in accusing her of misleading people, they actually mislead people about what she said and about what's been happening there. It's an incredible double bluff that they're doing. It's absolutely despicable.
Yeah. Well, the second story we want to cover today is, I think, also outrageous. And this is from Politico. Put that next one up. House moves to censure Tlaib over his Israel rhetoric. So the U.S. House, of course, they can't get off the rear ends and pass the appropriations bills and keep us, keep things running, because they're too busy spending hours on the floor yelling at this representative from Michigan, I believe. Go to the next one. So this is the GOP measure. The House late Tuesday, so late yesterday, passed a GOP measure to formally reprimand Representative Rashida Tlaib over her outspoken criticism of Israel. Representative Rich McCormick, Republican of Georgia, had moved to censure Tlaib for what he called, quote, promoting false narratives. And this reminds me a lot of what was happening during COVID, if you remember.
Yeah.
You were kicked off of YouTube for promoting false narratives about ivermectin, false narratives about masks. So this is ironically the same Republicans who probably were on our side on this, but they happen to not like this woman. I don't know much about her. My guess is that you and I would probably agree with maybe 0.001% of her political views. However, voting to censure her, to reprimand her for saying things that she believes to be true, I think it's outrageous.
You know, we have a First Amendment, and most people recognize it, but they get confused on how property can limit saying dumb things. You don't have a right to go into a church and take over.
Yeah.
You know, what's the right about free speech? That would be idiotic.
Yeah.
So there's a First Amendment principle there. And but we talk a lot about speech. Now, they've given some special coverage for people in Congress, and some argue against it, some argue and understand it, but that's the way it's been. If I had gone to the floor and made a couple charges and said to ABC, the way I understand that, they can't sue me. They
yeah.
can't arrest me. They can't do anything. So it's almost a special privilege for saying what you want, unless they don't like what you're saying.
Yeah,
so here it is. So they have this, and I think it fits into the stuff that you know, freedom of speech now is enforced, you know, with a collusion of big business and social media, and they're able to control speech and punish you because they have the power and a tool of economic policy, and they can really ruin people. So when they cancel you, some people, unfortunately, you got canceled and never recovered. We heard about the big cases.
Yeah.
I'll bet there's been a lot of people from hospital staffs,
sure.
and, you know, even before any of this whole thing started, I remember people getting into trouble because that was one of the questions that they were starting to ask in the 60s. What's your position on abortion?
Uh-huh.
Because they were doing them, and they said, would you participate? And they could lose their job if you said no.
Yeah.
But now it's much different and much bigger and much more economic. It has to do with speaking out. So this, it's rather ironic.
Yeah.
For me to look at this and say, you know, Tlaib wise, it has to be punished,
yeah.
punished for this. And we had some, we looked up the people who supported what we think is the right position,
yeah.
and that you shouldn't be bothered by this. I mean, you let somebody else get up and say something, but this whole thing of censor,
yeah. it
as if they were godlike and they knew the moral high ground. We're in a position where we can censor people for saying immoral things, but that's what they think they are. But we'll mention the four names that voted against it. And we know, just like you said originally, there's probably not many things we'd agree with that's going on.
With her, yeah.
But Ken Buck, I've heard that name, and I think of him as a good person.
Yeah.
I don't know John Duarte of California, but he voted right. And we've heard of this guy, Thomas Massie.
Yeah.
His name keeps popping up, you know. So we expected it. But I was very pleased and not totally surprised that Tom McClintock of California, he deserves to be congratulated from this because he is very, very good on his vote, but he's also, doesn't vote 100% with Thomas.
Yeah.
He's a good person, and I'm always very pleased with that because I made an effort in a token way to help him to get into Congress.
Yeah, that was a nice surprise. So those were the four Republicans who voted no. And my guess is certainly with Massie, it was a free speech issue. But you mentioned the word irony. The biggest irony, now I did a dive into the bill. It's not that long of a resolution. I did a dive into it. And the first thing that struck me, the big irony is, and if you put on that next clip, it's HRES 845. Easy to look up, easy to read. Go forward. There we go. HRES 845, censuring Representative Rashida Tlaib for promoting false narratives. This entire resolution, Dr. Paul, promotes false narratives. That's the irony.
Yeah.
Go to the next one. I'm just going to go to a few of the clauses because every single one of them you could point out. But here's just the first one, okay? Now, this is not to defend anything. It's just to say that this bill itself does what it accuses her of doing. So whereas Representative Rashida Tlaib, within 24 hours of the October 7th barbaric attack on Jewish citizens of the state of Israel, representing the deadliest days of Jews since the Holocaust, defended the brutal rapes, murders, beheadings, and kidnappings of Americans, defended the beheadings of Israelis by Hamas. That's interesting because the beheadings, I underline, and it's a distasteful thing, Dr. Paul, but it's worth digging into. Go to the next one. Because the beheadings was a narrative that was put out right away. Here's President Biden. U.S. President Biden on brutal terror attack by Hamas on Israeli people. I have confirmed terrorists beheading children. So they want to put it out there that Hamas is beheading children. Go to the next one. It was immediately clarified by the White House saying, Biden did not actually see confirmed pictures of terrorists beheading children as he claimed. So the narrative is starting to fall apart. He didn't see anything. Netanyahu told him this. Keep going further. And here's a major Turkish news network. They went on the ground and interviewed. The Israeli army says it does not have confirmation about allegations that Hamas beheaded babies. Go on. This is, go to the next one, please. Yeah, this is the Andalou News Service. When Andalou contacted the Israeli army spokesperson unit over the phone and asked about the allegations, she said, we have seen the news, but we do not have any details or confirmation. Now, that was the unit that was there. And I don't want to belabor the point, but I just want to point out that the clause itself was putting forward a false narrative about beheadings. And it's horrific, and it got people's attention quickly, but it turns out it wasn't true. Yet still, they added the false narrative in here.
Does that remind you about the lies told about the Iraqi war?
Yeah, that's right. And Gaddafi with the rape pills and this and that. Yeah.
You know, there has been some other expression dealing with this and who's the bad people and who's doing the most wicked things. And that happens to be a more democratic way of doing it and not necessarily bad if it's done peacefully. And that's the demonstration. That's why we need a little bit of balance, a little bit of truth-telling.
So I thought that good coverage there. And, of course, with the demonstrations we've seen, some people on the pro-Israeli side being violent, people on the pro-Palestinian side becoming violent, so-called attacks on the White House and so on and so forth, people trying to climb the fence and so on. And, all of it, of course, comes because, I think in many cases, because many people think that they need to be able to steer the government the way that the government should go. And this was something that, we've been talking about and pro-peace aisles for a long time when it came to Ukraine. But this is really much more intense now with the Israeli-Palestinian thing. And I think it's interesting because Rashida Tlaib, coming from around the Dearborn, Michigan area, people are like, oh, Dearborn is, you know, it's this hotbed of Islamic people and so on, and she represents this, and her allegiances aren't right and so on. So let me get this straight. When Ted Kennedy's family, which is from Irish Catholic stock, when they got into political power and Ted Kennedy's father had a lot of sway and made some money from rum running and things like that, I didn't hear the same sort of thing about representation for, say, Catholic Irish people, or let's say you get a black person who's voted in, or a Hispanic person who's voted in, or whatever, right? Why is this somehow, Rashida Tlaib and what she has to say about the people from her homeland, why is that somehow distinct, unique, and bad compared to all the other ones, right? I don't understand it. But again, it's all trapped within this tragedy of the commons situation. You've got all these different blocks that, you know, the founders understood that you would get these different groups, these different parties, these different factions, as they would call them, and they would all start arguing. And the Marxists, as David Knight noted in his great conversation with a woman today talking about Mao's America and her new book, which I ordered right after I saw her with David Knight, it was quite interesting because, you know, I put a comment into the text and I said, yeah, all Marxism is, in essence, cultural Marxism. It hides under the cloak of so-called economics, but it's class envy. It's all class envy. And then if they can apply new ways to enrage people with feelings of envy and that they have been not treated fairly and that somebody else has more than they have because of some exploitation, whatever they can make up, they will do so to split people apart. And then the only answer is through getting the power of the state on your side. And it always increases the power of the state and decreases the power of peaceful interaction because the state will have to regulate how people get together, what is fair, and so on and so forth. And so we are, generally speaking, I think, in this audience for peace and trying to leave our neighbors alone. And it's interesting, you know, when you put a show together because you're just reminded of how quiet many people were on the conservative side when we were looking at things like this. Ukraine, as the Ukrainian government was overthrown by Obama forces and Atlantic Council forces, many of whom have great friends in the Republican Party, for some reason they didn't really speak up. They have many people in the Republican Party who are all in favor of Ukraine, and I see so many people on the left who are in favor of Ukraine, and yet Ukraine is closely allied with Nazis. They have Nazis in their military. So here's one of the latest developments. You probably heard about this yesterday, and we reported on this last week with the comparison of the Time magazine from earlier this year, which celebrated Zelensky, and Time magazine from, what was it, last week now. The new one's probably out. I know, I don't keep up on Time magazine. The idea that Time magazine is putting him now tiny and saying he's pretty much alone in the world. Well, he's still going to get billions of dollars probably from the United States, but it looks like the spigot is starting to get closed off a little bit. And, of course, it never was deservedly open. A top aide to Ukrainian President Zelensky has said the West needs to keep backing Ukraine's war with Russia and hit back at comments made by Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni about growing war fatigue. Now, what's interesting about the Giorgia Meloni thing is that that comment actually came because she got spoof phone calls. You know those Russian guys who have called up various politicians and convinced them that they're speaking with somebody that's they're not? They did it to Ms. Meloni, Prime Minister Meloni. And the person who passed the phone call on to her has resigned in disgrace. Because in the conversation, she actually acknowledges that they're getting tired of this. They're getting tired of the support for Ukraine. People don't want to give them money anymore. Meloni made the comments last week while on the phone with Russian pranksters, whom she thought were African Union officials. Quote, There is a lot of fatigue, I have to say the truth, from all the sides. We are near the moment in which everybody understands that we need a way out. Andriy Yermak, the head of Zelensky's office, claimed the West would be less safe if it stopped fueling the proxy war. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more. And also something that's finally happening, pop media on the right are actually acknowledging part of what we've known for a long time. Hamas, and New York Post is tilts very, very much towards catering to Jewish people because of the population of New York. Hamas leaders worth staggering $11 billion revel in luxury. Where? Of course, in Qatar, as we've mentioned numerous times for weeks on the show. But is there any sign? Is there any sign that for all those weeks, the United States government, which has known about this, was asking for those guys to be extradited to the United States as so-called terrorists? I thought Hamas was terrorist. Oh, that's right. Those are the people that the U.S. government wanted to lead the Palestinians in Gaza. Those are the people that on video we know, and we know from testimony from other people, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu wanted to lead the Palestinian people in Hamas because there would be a stone wall with which he could not negotiate and against which he would have to keep pushing and fighting. They would be oppositional. They would be confrontational. And they got what they wanted. And the leaders have been in Qatar. And we've known about this all along. So why now are we only hearing about it? Well, it's because Representative Andy Ogles of Tennessee is sponsoring a bill that would strip Qatar of its status as a key U.S. ally unless they turn over those guys. He's finally doing it. They could have done it on day one. They've known all along. Qatar is so closely tied to the CIA that, as we know, as Seymour Hersh has reported, Qatar was involved with the weapons rat lines that went into Turkey and into Libya and into Syria as they were trying to get them into Syria to feed al-Nusra Front and other heavily hardcore religious zealots that evidently, if they live in Dearborn, Michigan, are bad. Those would be Islamic people, whether it's, I don't know what branch of Islamicism is the bad one right now. I'm not sure. United States taxpayers can fund the weapons makers who then will have their weapons used by al-Nusra Front, and Qatar will act as one of the rat line suppliers working with the CIA. It's amazing to see how this all works out, everybody. And I saw that information about the Hamas stuff early this morning, thanks to the folks at Redacted.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.